Well, good morning, church. Thank you for that choir, for a wonderful anthem declaring that this is God's world. Amen. And thank you for making the decision to be here in person or to join us online. You made a decision, and God's going to bless our decision to be together. How many have ever heard of a gentleman by the name of Ronald Wayne? Ronald Wayne. He worked with Steve Jobs at Atari before he and Jobs and Steve Wozniak founded Apple Computer on April 1, 1976. Ronald Wayne drew the first Apple logo, wrote the original partnership agreement, and wrote the Apple I manual. He had 10% of the company. He was 40 years old while Jobs and Wozniak were in their 20s. And in a partnership, their partnership, they were each responsible for any debts incurred by any other partner. Now, Ronald Wayne had some personal assets, unlike Jobs or Wozniak, and he became concerned he was going to lose his personal assets. So 12 days after Apple was formed, Ronald Wayne sold his shares for $800. Not a good decision. Those same shares would be worth $75 billion today. Now, if you're like my wife, you use K-Cups, right? Keurig, Green Mountain, $4.7 billion in revenue last year. In the early days, they needed some venture capitalists, and so in 1994, they obtained a $50,000 investment, and John Sylvain, one of the founders and the inventor of the K-Cup, did not get along with those venture capitalists, so he sold his share for $50,000. Not a good decision. Now, Hudson, who is our six-year-old grandson, first grade, on this past election day, his teacher, Miss Kuhn, had a class project on elections. And so the class had to get in line to vote for either double-dipped chocolate Oreos or chocolate-covered cupcakes. And they got a sticker once they voted, and I'm glad to say that double-dipped chocolate Oreos won the election. Later in the class, Miss Kuhn asked the students to write down if they were in a real election, who they would vote for and why. And Hudson, our grandson who likes video games, said he would elect God so he could delete all the scammers. I would vote with Hudson on that. I'm sure there are many people listening today who are struggling with a big decision. Should I change jobs? Should I downsize? What am I going to do after I graduate? What's going to happen in the next stage of life? Somebody here listening may be waiting for someone else to make a decision, waiting for a test result. Some of you are praying, God, show me what to do. God, tell me what to do. God, give me a sign. The reality is, friends, that we all make decisions, and our decisions make us. We all make decisions, and our decisions make us. Now, when I got this preaching assignment on James, I was supposed to preach on James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, how we should talk to each other. A very important subject. Trevor is preaching on it over in the auditorium. But some of you in this room or listening online, remember that on September the 28th, Pastor Bill preached an excellent sermon on James chapter 3, on how we should talk to each other. Some of the highlights and some of his wisdom was that the tongue is small, but it yields great power. That words can heal or words can kill or heal. That our words give an MRI of our hearts. That when talking, we should hit the gas once and the brakes twice. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. He said that you should take three tests before you speak. Is it true? Is it needed? Is it something I would want God to hear? So after reflecting on Bill's sermon and seeing my assignment to preach on the same subject, I asked God what I should do. Should I try to out-preach Bill? And I believe God said to me, I've given you some wisdom, you decide, but you cannot out-preach Bill. So if you keep reading in James chapter 3, which I did, I found some good words on wisdom. wisdom we need to make better decisions. You see, James 3, 1 through 12 is how we should talk to each other, what Bill preached on. And James 3, 13 through 18 is how we should walk. And that's where the Lord has led me this morning. Wisdom is mentioned 180 to 200 times in the Old Testament, 53 times in the New Testament, including 7 times in the book of James. Now, we've been preaching and teaching on James over the last few weeks. Who is James? Well, we know that he is the half-brother of Jesus. I want to clarify that for a moment if someone has a question. James's parents were Mary and Joseph. Jesus' parents was God and Mary. You know, we saw an advertisement, a promotion about the upcoming Christmas musical. And we'll celebrate at Christmas time the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the virgin birth, where God came upon Mary through the Holy Spirit and she conceived. And so James and Jesus had the same mom, but they had different fathers. And the Bible tells us that in the first 33 years of Jesus' life, James struggled with who Jesus was. He had to make a big decision about his brother Jesus. He had to decide what to do with Jesus. And the Bible tells us, based on the wisdom that he had from reading and studying the Old Testament, he concluded that Jesus, his brother, half-brother, was not who Jesus claimed to be. In fact, it says in Mark 3:21, one time Jesus entered a house and the crowds began to gather again. Soon he and the disciples couldn't even find time to eat. When his family heard what was happening, they tried to take him away. They said, "He's out of his mind." James and his brothers thought Jesus was crazy. In John's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 5, it says, "Not even his brothers believed in him." Maybe you're listening today and you have some questions about Jesus' claims to be the Son of God. Well, you're in good company because his own brother had questions. But the question for us today is, how did James move from being a skeptic to being a saint, from a doubter to a devoted leader in the early Christian church, even becoming a martyr for his faith? James probably prayed many times, "God, show me what to do. God, help me to understand what's going on here. God, give me some wisdom." And we read in Paul's letter to Corinthians in chapter 15, this is what Paul wrote. "I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. And after that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died." And then verse 7. "Then he was seen by James." He was seen by James. "And later by all the apostles." God gave James the wisdom to decide. He declared that Jesus is who he says he is. He is the Son of God. It is my prayer that anyone listening today who may be skeptical of Jesus would declare sometime in this next hour that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the Savior of the world, that Jesus resurrected from the dead, that Jesus rules and reigns from heaven. So if you're able, let's read together from the book of James. Would you stand? Now, I want to read first of all from James chapter 1, verse 5. "But if any of you lack wisdom, you should pray to God who will give it to you." Who will give it to you? "Because God gives generously and graciously to all." Now, James knew that to be true because God gave him some wisdom, generous wisdom, grace-filled wisdom. And then in chapter 3, verse 13, Are there any of you who are wise and understanding? You are to prove it by your good life, by your good deeds performed with humility and wisdom. But if in your heart you are jealous or bitter and selfish, don't sin against the truth by boasting of your wisdom. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven. It belongs to the world. It is unspiritual and demonic. Where there is jealousy and selfishness, there is also disorder and every kind of evil. But the wisdom from above is pure, first of all. It is also peaceful, gentle, and friendly. It is full of compassion and produces a harvest of good deeds. It is free from prejudice and hypocrisy. And goodness is the harvest that is produced from the seeds that peacemakers plant in peace. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Almighty and gracious God, I pray that you would help us to discern what we believe about Jesus today, what we believe about wisdom that comes from you. Give me the words to speak. Give us all ears to hear so that we may make wise decisions. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So what James does here in this chapter, he contrasts earthly wisdom, worldly wisdom, with godly wisdom. Worldly wisdom with godly wisdom. Now, some of you in here may have heard of the name Charles Ponzi. He fled to America in 1903, and he was addicted to the appearance of wealth. Ponzi learned that people believe anything if you promise them easy money. You do not need a real business. You just need a believable story. And in 1920, Charles Ponzi promised investors a 50% return in 45 days. Within months, he was collecting $250,000 a day from 40,000 people. What was his secret? There was no business. There were just new investors paying old investors. And he depended upon a psychological trick that drives today's scams based on worldly wisdom. Here's what Ponzi knew. When people want something to be true, they will ignore all evidence it's false. When people want something to be true, they will ignore all evidence it's false. Is that not a prescription on the condition of the world we live in today? That people want something to be true so badly, they ignore all evidence it's false. That greed will shut down critical thinking. Jealousy, envy, pride will shut down critical thinking. I'm going to say it, wokeness will shut down critical thinking, despite all the evidence that it's false. Now, James wrote about worldly wisdom. He says it's unspiritual. Well, what does it mean, unspiritual? It does not come down, he says, from heaven. It is earthly. It is godly wisdom corrupted by sin. See, we are all born in the image of God. We have the nature of God in us, but we've been corrupted by sin, and godly wisdom has not been corrupted, but earthly wisdom has. It is defective. It is incomplete. It is destructive. Earthly or worldly wisdom is focused on living for ourselves, focused on living right now and not thinking at all about living for eternity. It's blinded by darkness. It says, I don't need God's help. I can figure this out on my own unless I get in trouble. It is unspiritual because it ignores the presence and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Worldly wisdom is unspiritual, and worldly wisdom brings disorder. Why is my life always a mess? Why do things keep going wrong? Chaos, I want you to hear this, chaos is contrary to God's will. Chaos results when everybody does what seems right in their own eyes, resulting in chaos. Chaos becomes about surviving and not thriving. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life abundant. life full of purpose, life full of meaning. Worldly wisdom is always about your case and your cause. But you don't know my story. But it's always about your case and your cause. And the disorder is that worldly wisdom is often accompanied by a critical spirit. You've experienced that, right? A critical spirit that's always negative, always defensive, that distorts the truth, that believes in half-truths, that is ungrateful, that loves to be a victim, that tries to out-victim others, is happy about misfortune, all driven by worldly wisdom, disorder, unspiritual, but also demonic. That's a strong word that James gives us. It does not come down from heaven. Worldly wisdom is based on the same selfish pride, the same greed that led Satan's downfall from heaven with his angels to the earth. He thought he was smarter and wiser than God. Think about it. Angels that once had full access to the wisdom of God are now demonic beings who use earthly wisdom to discourage, to distort, to manipulate, and to destroy. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no wonder that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness or even servants of wisdom. In the end, they will get the punishment their wicked deeds deserve. There's a difference between earthly wisdom and godly wisdom. I thought about it in this way. Is that a couple years ago, I like to hunt, and I had this really impressive deer on a camera, and I was going to try to hunt this deer, and the particular day I was going to hunt, the wind was not right? So I didn't want to go hunt there because I might mess it up. So I went somewhere else on the property to hunt, but it was right next to the property line, you know, that separated our land that we lease from 700 acres that somebody else owns. So there's a barbed wire fence right there, and, you know, you just don't go across that fence. And you know what happened, right? I'm sitting there, minding my own business, doing my own thing, looking at my camera at the other deer that I thought was over there, and then all of a sudden I see deer start jumping across the fence onto our property, into our food plot. And then the big deer that I've got over there is suddenly over here, and he's right here in front of me. And I got a decision to make. It was a pretty easy decision. And after I shot, I watched all the deer that were with that deer jump back across the fence. And I go, we got a problem. And so I go down in a few minutes and look where I thought the deer was. No deer, no sign. I'm going, oh, no. So I call my buddy that's with me. I said, I got to go across the line. I got to cross the line. I got to go across the fence. Got to see if I can find this deer. So I go across the barbed wire fence. And I'm looking for trail cameras, not trying to get busted. I'm thinking, you know, I don't want to be on the front page of the state newspaper, you know. And I look over there for about 45 minutes. It gets dark. No deer. And I come back across the fence on the right side of the fence. And my buddy's there. He says, let's go look back again where you think the deer was. I go back there. He says, walk that way. And 5 yards from where I had taken the shot, there was the deer. I'd been on the wrong side of the fence. See, earthly wisdom is walking on the wrong side of the fence. You and I need to stay on God's side of the fence. And God has given us clear directions. This is right, and this is wrong. These are the Ten Commandments. These are not the Ten Suggestions. These are the commandments that I've given you to live by. It's wisdom from above. It's not just head knowledge. It's not just artificial intelligence. We have more intelligence at our fingertips now than any time in history, more educated, more civilized, but yet what's happening? We're turning away from God. With more intelligence and more understanding, we're turning away from God and we're ignoring Him as the source of life-changing wisdom. Godly wisdom is greater than human intelligence. Let me say a word about AI. AI can be a good research tool. I use it. I've got a ChatGPT app on my phone. But I got to keep perspective because AI is finite and our God is infinite. AI doesn't have the capacity to look at the heart, doesn't have the capacity to look at the soul, doesn't have the capacity to look at intent. We got to be careful about rushing towards something. I love what C.S. Lewis said. years ago. When the whole world is running toward a cliff, he who is running in the opposite direction appears to have lost his mind. Some of us need to take a step back, putting all of our confidence in intelligence, because we have a God who is much wiser than all the manipulated intelligence in the world. So what is godly wisdom? I believe that godly wisdom from the Bible is seeing situations, struggles, and solutions through a biblical lens. The God-given ability to discern what is right and what is wrong. Not trusting worldly wisdom, but trusting the wisdom of God's word. I love these words from Proverbs 2:6. All wisdom, say it with me, all wisdom comes from the Lord, and so do common sense and understanding. Common sense and understanding come from the Lord. Anybody need some more common sense? Don't we need some common sense in Washington, D.C. right now? In this whole government shutdown? What are we thinking, right? We need some wisdom from above. Then in Proverbs 9:10, fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in what? Good judgment. Knowledge of the Holy One, results in good judgment. That means reverence. Fear means reverence. It means to surrender to God's awesome power and to recognize God as the ultimate source of truth and wisdom. The wisdom of God's word. You know, we all want to hear God speak to us. We all want to get a sign from God. I believe that God speaks to us primarily through his word, through the Holy Scriptures. As we read God's word, he speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. God may speak to you through a sermon. God may speak to you through a song. God may speak to you through another person, but it's always grounded in God's holy word. A biblical lens from reading God's word, relying on God's word, resting in God's word. Why is godly wisdom so important? The Bible, James says, first of all, it's pure. Godly wisdom is not contaminated. I have a sneaky suspicion that AI is contaminated. Anybody believe that? And it's contaminated because it's built on human perception. It has a preference. It's jaded one way or the other. It's not pure. I wish it was pure, but it's not. But God's word is pure. God's wisdom is not contaminated. Our hearts are not pure because we've been contaminated with sin. But when we confess it, our hearts can see and experience purity through receiving the wisdom of God. God's wisdom has no hidden agenda. I'm guessing when you go online sometimes, there's a hidden agenda that's going to take you a certain direction, and you got to filter through that in order to find some truth there. There's no ulterior selfish motive because God's wisdom is pure. God's wisdom is not about impressing others. It is pure. And then James says God's word, wisdom is peaceful. I love how Proverbs 1:33, I wish I put this on the screen, but I'm going to read it for you from the Passion Translation. Listen to this, peaceful. But the one who always listens to me will live undisturbed in heavenly peace. Need some of that? How many voices are we listening to that's causing us to be disturbed? But when we listen to the wisdom of God, we will live undisturbed in a heavenly peace, free from fear, confident, and courageous. You will rest unafraid. It's good to go to sleep unafraid because we know this is our Father's world. Pure, peaceful, and full of purpose. Godly wisdom gives us perspective on our earthly purpose and our eternal purpose. Wisdom to make good decisions. You know, years ago, 32 years ago or so, Lynn and I had to make a decision whether to move from Conway and move to Lexington, to leave a church there to come to a little small church up on the corner. And trust me, we prayed, God, give us a sign. God, tell us what to do. Show us something. So we drove up here, we drove around, and God said, I believe, in a quiet voice, I'm going to give you some wisdom, you decide. And I said many times through the years, it didn't take a rocket scientist to figure out this is an incredible opportunity to grow a church. And so we used what wisdom God had given us, didn't get a voice, didn't get a sign, but used some wisdom that came from God. It wasn't our idea, it was God's idea. Pure, peaceful purpose and provision. Remember in the Old Testament, some of you, when Solomon asked God for wisdom above wealth? And I love how God responded to him in 2 Chronicles chapter 1. But since, Solomon, you have asked for wisdom and knowledge to lead my people over whom I've made you king, I will give you wisdom and knowledge. I'm going to give you some wisdom. I'm going to give you some knowledge. But listen to what else God says. I will also give you more wealth, more riches and honor than any king who has lived before you or any who will live after you. See, when we have the wisdom of God in our lives, seeking God's wisdom, provision is never a problem. Lynn and I have learned through our life together that when we trust God's wisdom and follow biblical principles of generosity and stewardship, provision is never a problem. And why is that? Because we have an eternal perspective on God's provision. We are not heavily invested in Apple. We're not heavily invested in Google, but we are heavily invested in eternity. And that's where our main treasure is at. And that's wisdom, because all this other stuff will go away. What we invest in the kingdom has lasts for eternity. So how do you get wisdom? Getting wisdom. I'm going to spend just a moment here. Number one, you got to acknowledge you need wisdom. Anybody here want some wisdom? Have the humility to say, I need some wisdom in my life. And my first search is not with my fingers on a computer screen, but my first search is on my knees, talking to the Lord. I need some wisdom. I need to know what to do. To have the humility to know that you don't know it all. Godly wisdom is grounded in humility. You can't get wisdom from God without humility. Secondly, you got to ask God. You got to ask God. I love how James 1 is paraphrased in the Phillips paraphrase. I love it. And if in the process, any of you does not know how to meet any particular problem, he has only to ask God. You got a particular problem? Don't raise your hand. Ask God, who gives generously to all men, all people, without making them feel foolish or guilty. You ever feel guilty or foolish about bothering God? You know, I got this problem, but you know, God's pretty busy. He's running the world. Yes, you do. Bother God. God wants you to bother him with your problems. God wants you to come to him for wisdom and guidance and direction. And he may be quite sure that the necessary wisdom will be given to him. Proverbs chapter 4 says it this way, get wisdom, develop good judgment. Don't forget my words or turn away from them. Don't turn your back on wisdom. She will protect you. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. Getting wisdom, the wisest thing you can do. You get wisely wisdom from spending time with God. Spending time in God's word, spending time with God's people. So you ask God for wisdom. If you want wisdom, ask God. But also ask godly, wise people. I've written down 10 names here that I don't have time to talk about. But names of people that God has brought into my life over the last 50 years who have given me wisdom, who have pointed me in the right direction, who've called me out and said, hey, you may want to rethink that. Have you thought about this idea? You know, one of those is Bill Baltonite. And, you know, Bill was a pastor at First Methodist Myrtle Beach when I was a pastor in Conway. And I'll never forget, I had Bill coming over to do a teaching on stewardship for our little church there. We were struggling to make the budget and make ends meet. And so I'd done the math on it. I said, you know, if ever, we got this many members, and this many members gave this much equally, then we could take care of this. So Bill shows up, you know, and I said, Bill, that's what I'm thinking. He said, that's one of the most, he's so nice, right? He didn't say it this way, but what he really said is, that's stupid. He says, basically, you're telling Jeff, you're telling people what to give, and somebody might write a check for the whole thing. But you just tell them, we don't need your check because we're going to divide it up equally. I've never forgot that little bit of wisdom. It was just like, okay, I can deal with that. I wrote that down. I used that for the rest of my ministry. And I could give you example after example after example of just wisdom about life, about being a parent, about being a husband, about being a pastor, about being a friend. So you want knowledge, you want wisdom, acknowledge it, you need it, ask God, and you got to act on it. When you get it, you got to act on it. Proverbs 13:20. Some of you need to hear this today because some of you need to make some changes. Put it up there, Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with wise men or people will be wise. Read it out loud. Say it with me. But the one who walks with fools will be destroyed. Hanging out with fools will make you foolish. It's really hard to walk in wisdom when you run around with fools. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Life's too short and life's too critical to waste your life with fools. If you hang out with problems, you're going to have problems. Not saying that you don't need to be friends to some people to help them, to benefit them, to encourage them, but you need to have a healthy network and you need to act on the wisdom God has given you. You know, intelligence is knowing what is right. Wisdom is doing what is right. There's a big difference between knowing what's right and doing what is right. If you want to make better decisions, you need to hang out with better disciples. Better disciples help you make better decisions. Now, when you get some wisdom, don't hoard it. I'm speaking to a smart room here. I'm speaking to some wise people. You don't hoard your wisdom. You share it. And you find people that you can come alongside and tell them your story. Tell them the good things and the bad things and how you learned from the bad things. Tell them about your mistakes. Tell them what you would do different. Share your wisdom. Do it with humility and give God all the glory. And growing in wisdom, we need to keep growing in wisdom. I love Proverbs 32:8. The Lord says, read it with me, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Making decisions based on the wisdom God has given you, the advice that God gives through His Word, through prayer, through godly people. And yet God has given us the freedom to decide to stay on this side of the fence or jump the fence where we know we might get in trouble. You know, I've said all along in my life, if you don't step out, you won't find out. But what if I mess up? Well, you probably will. But you'll gain wisdom from your mess ups. And God loves to redeem messes. You know, looking back over these last 30 plus years at Mount Horeb, we had to make a lot of big decisions. Do we do this? Do we start this? Do we stop this? And what do? We prayed for wisdom. We prayed for guidance. We built our decisions on the Word of God. We listened to smart people, wise people. We listened to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we would take two steps forward, and then we'd take a step back. And sometimes we didn't know what to do, and we just stepped out in faith, and God did the rest. God's wisdom is from above, and He wants to give it today to all who will ask for it. You know, there's a difference between God's wisdom, God's discernment, and intuition. Some of you are leaning heavy on your intuition. You know, intuition is a human gut feeling based on past experience or emotion, and it's easily manipulated by earthly wisdom. But spiritual discernment from God is focused on the reality that God wants to bring about in the world. God's reality, God's kingdom, God's purpose. And one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is discernment. It's a gift that God gives on certain occasions to certain people to make a decision that impacts the world that nobody else thought of. That's a great idea. To God be the glory. It was his idea. I just get to share it. That's from the Holy Spirit. That's the kind of wisdom that we need to seek if we're going to be true followers of Jesus. How to grow in wisdom? We've got to learn to ascend instead of descend. Ascend instead of descend. We got to ascend to the Father instead of descending to the world. Earlier this week, I read this on social media. I checked it out on AI. But the crow is the only bird bold enough to sit on an eagle's back. A bald eagle's back. It pecks at its neck. It's relentless. It's annoying. But the eagle stays calm. The eagle doesn't flap its wing. It does not fight. It does not waste any energy. It does one thing. It begins to rise. It begins to ascend. And the higher the eagle goes, the thinner the air becomes. And the crow, it can't handle the altitude. And eventually the crow gasps for air. It loses strength and it falls off the eagle. Why? Because the eagle ascended. Where's the wisdom there? Let the crows talk. Let the crows peck. You don't have to respond. You just got to keep going higher. They can't follow you forever. And your growth in Christ will suffocate their noise. So don't engage, elevate. Don't descend, ascend. And I say to people all the time, and I try to remind myself, stay on the high road. That's where God is. In closing, I want to make this statement this morning because someone needs to hear this. If you're here in this room or listening online, the wisest decision you will ever make is to put your faith in Jesus Christ. And the most foolish decision you ever make is not to put your faith in Jesus Christ. And there's somebody here, maybe like James, the half-brother of Jesus, that's skeptical. I want to challenge you to step out in faith, and you'll find out that God is real, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Mark says it this way, and Jesus said these words, "For what use is it if you gain all the wealth and power of this world, and with everything it could offer you at the cost of your own life? And what could be more valuable than your own soul?" The wisest decision you'll ever make is to put your faith in Jesus Christ. And the most foolish decision you'll ever make is not to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus told a parable at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, a wise man is like the builder who hears my words and puts them into practice and built his house on a rock. And when the winds began to blow and the rain began to fall and the floodwaters began to rise, that house did not fall because it was built on a rock. But the foolish man is the one who hears my words and doesn't put them into practice. And when the winds blew and the rain began to fall and the floodwaters rose, that house fell because it was not built on the rock. The wisest decision you ever make is to put the words of Jesus Christ into practice every day of your life. Father God, I ask that you anoint this place, anoint those watching online in their homes or in their car, with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, give us the courage to step out in faith and put all of our trust in you, Jesus Christ. And Jesus, you tell us in your word that if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us and to make us right with you. And give us some wisdom. Help us to gain wisdom and to grow in wisdom and be evidenced through our humility and our good deeds, our compassion, our love for people. Lord, move in people's hearts and lives right now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.